Today Shiz Masecht and the Dharam Daf Hey, we will begin on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, El Amud Shmuel. In a previous shir, the Gemara had taught us a halacha that Shmuel had taught us. And the Gemara assumed that the halacha Shmuel taught regarding this halachas that was said in our Mishnah, where the Mishnah discussed when somebody says, Muda Nimach, but for Shani Mimcha, Merchukani Mimcha, where the Gemara said that according to Shmuel, the only time such a nether would be effective is if he said both phrases that were discussed in the Mishnah, Midrani Mamcha, etc., with also saying Shani Oichalach, Shani Taim Lacha. But in the absence of both those phrases said, the halacha would be that it would not be considered a valid nether. But the Gemara, based on brises that were quoted in our previous shir, said that that is not the halacha. And because of that, the Gemara has to now find a different explanation what Shmuel meant to say. We know that when somebody makes a nether, he could make a nether where he could say that me or my or things that I own, someone else may not benefit from them. Or somebody can make a nether where he says that I may not benefit from someone else. And sometimes a nether can mean both, where I won't have benefit from you, and you won't have benefit from me. Says the Gemara, what Shmuel meant to say was, Elam Shmuel, what Shmuel meant to say was, that when somebody makes the statement of Mudrani Mimcha, what he means to say is that I won't benefit from you. But he did not reference that the other person may not benefit from him. And that because he said, Tama, explains Shmuel, Dama Shani Oichalach Shani Toim Lecha, because he expressed himself that I may not eat from you, I may not taste from you. That's why the halacha is Huda Asur, that he may not benefit from the other person, but the other person may benefit from him. But says the Gemara, Aval Oma Medranim Hal Chudei, if he just made a blank statement, Mudrani Mechab, without saying Shani Oichloch, without saying Shani Toimloch, there the halacha is that Shnei Masurim. What he meant to say was that I won't benefit from you, and you won't benefit from me. And as Tosfos explains, the problem with this explanation is why does the Mishnah use the word Osir? Osir means that only one of them, Osir is a Lashon Yachid, it means only one of them is Osir. So why here, as Shmuel's explaining, is the halacha that both are Osir? So explains Tosfos, since in many of the cases of the Mishnah, the nether only affects one of the individuals who made the nether, that's why even when it affects both of them, does the Mishnah use the word Osir, even though in those cases, the halacha is that affects both of them. And says the Gemara, that's exactly Ki Hadam Rabbi Yosef Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Chanina actually taught us Medrani Mecha. Somebody said Medrani Mecha Shnei Masurim. The halach is that both may not have another from each other. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Amun Abayis teaches us if somebody says Hareni Alach Acherim, that anything that any benefit that I have from you should be considered like a Acherim, and as we've discussed in previous Shiurim, that Cherim is another way of saying Hegdish, which really means to say that it's Hegdish, I can't have any benefit from you. So if I say Hareni Alecha Cherim, Hamuda Asur, the person who I refer to may not have Hanor from the person who made the nether, Avamadur, the person who made the nether, Loi, doesn't have Asur, Isser. In other words, when somebody makes this declaration, what this declaration means that the person who was referred to may not have enough from the person who's making the nether, and not vice versa. But ask the Gemara, if what Rabbi Yosef Chanina just taught us is correct, that when somebody says Shmudranim Cha, the Loch is Shneim Asurim, that both may not have benefit from each other, so then the halacha ought to be that when somebody says, Hareini Alecha Cherim, the halacha should also be that the issur should go both ways. That I can't have anor from you, and you can't have anor from me. So the Gemara's question is, how could the halacha that's stated explicitly in that Mishnah be considered be consistent with Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina? Because the basis of Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina's halacha is that when somebody says Midrani Mecha, that he's saying that I and my anything I own should be usur to you and to your anything you own. And the only way to accomplish that is by saying that he meant that the isur should go both ways. Says the Gemara, the way Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina will explain that Mishnah is where he explicitly said, even though he used wording, which normally would actually mean that the isser goes both ways, but he said explicitly, v'at olai loy, that the isser should only be from you to me and not from you to me. And therefore, if he said that explicitly, that's when the halacha will be that way. But otherwise, it will be indeed both directions. There is a discussion in the Rishonim in explaining this Gemara. How do we understand what this Gemara means to say? Does it mean that in order for the nether not to be affected both ways, he has to say v'at olai loy? And not only must he say v'at olai loy, he has to say toich kedei dibur of his statement, because by saying it toich kedei dibur of his statement, that means that he's being very clear in his expression what he wants with the nether. Or is it going to be acceptable, even if he doesn't say Toch Kedei Dibur, but when he comes to explain what he meant to say, he'll say that this is the wording that I used, and this is what I meant with the wording. And I saw that that the Rishonim, the Achronim, have said that this is a fundamental discussion in Hilchos Nedarim. A very big part of the Masechta that we're going to be learning is going to be referring to these kind of situations where somebody makes a nether and we're not clear exactly what was meant with that nether, how to interpret the nether. And the question is, why do we have to have the Gemara always trying to tell us what the halacha is? Why don't we just ask the person who made the nether, what did you mean? So I saw from Rav David Pavarsky Zatzal that he has a very fundamental approach on how to deal with this question. He says, this is the way I understand what he means to say. He says, when somebody says something explicitly, or not even explicitly, but he says it in a way that the Gemara says that that's the way, that was what was meant to be said, so that's what the halacha says this statement means, then that's what the statement means. And his trying to interpret that the statement means anything else is not halachically acceptable. Only in a case where we have, like our Gemara, that the statement is very unclear and it's open to interpretation, that's where the halacha is v'at olai loy. So now we have this machlokes that I just quoted. Does the v'at olai loy have to be stated toich kedei dibur or not? Really is to be understood as follows. The Rishonim that say it has to be said Toch Kedei Dibur hold that the Gemara is very clear that when somebody uses this type of statement, Mudrani Mimcha, Hareni Alach Acherim, the Isser goes both ways. The only way that it won't go both ways is if it's said explicitly it doesn't go both ways. And when is that going to be effective? If that explicit statement was said Toch Kedei Dibur of the original statement. The other Mandama says that it was never 100% clear to the Gemara. It was not even 100% clear to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina that it means that it goes both ways. Rather, what did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina say? Because we're not quite sure how to interpret the statement, we have to interpret it that it goes both ways. But since it's only being interpreted that way, l'chumra, so as long as the person who makes the nether tells us clearly what he meant, he says what he meant was v'at olai loy, even if he gives that explanation after k'tay k'tay dibur, we accept his explanation. It says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Atalai Chayrim, if somebody says that anything from you to me is Osr v'chana, Hanoi de Osr, Avalamud loy. But why? If Rabbi Yosef ben Hanan is correct, when somebody makes this type of a statement, the Isser should go both ways. Answers the Gemara, again, it's talking about a case where he explicitly explained with the explanations that we just offered, Kigain the Pirish, where he said when he expressed the nether, Vana Allah loy. Says the Gemara, so what this means to say now is, because he gave this interpretation, Vat Olai loy, that's why it's interpreted that it's only on one way nether. Avil stoma, if he would not offer this explanation, my wa would be the halacha. Then indeed, Rabbi Yosef ben Hanina teaches us that shnei mesurim, that this is a nether that we take to mean goes both ways. So ask the Gemara, Hamidik Tani Sefer, if we continue learning that Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Hareini halacha chayrim v'atalai shnei mesurim, where he expressly said that you to me and me to you. That's when they're both osur. Who the shnei mesurim? It seems that hostama, if it wasn't said that way, it was said in the way that we've been discussing in our shir, the halach would be the hu osur v'chaverim mutter. Says the Gemara, halach yitmar. This is the way we have to understand, says the Gemara of Yosef b'chanina's halacha. Halachi yitmar Rabbi Yosef b'chanina. Muda nai halach shnei mesurim. Because when you use the word l'cha, it can mean both ways. It can mean you to me and me to you. When, however, somebody doesn't use that word l'cha, where he says mudrani humcha, their halach is hu asa v'chaver itma. That only he will not be allowed, he who made the nether will not be allowed to have a na'ah, but the other person will be allowed to have a na'ah. Ask the Gemara, this very much explains Rabbi Yosef ben Hanina and is able to reconcile what Rabbi Yosef ben Hanina said with what the Mishnayos that we've quoted in today's shir say. But let's go back to our Mishnah. V'misnisin d'ktani, the case of our Mishnah is where he said mudrani mecha. And we began today's shir by saying, v'akmina l'smis l'shmul, we began today's shir by saying that Shmuel explains our Mishnah, b'kulam, that Shmuel in our previous shir added that you have to say, so only when you added that phrase, that's where the halach is, hu asav chaver mutter. But if somebody would just use the statement, Amhudrani himach, then the halach is that shnei mesurim, they both would be also from each other. But that isn't consistent with what we just explained, because we just finished explaining that only when he used the word l'cha, then the halach is that they're both asr. But if he doesn't use the word l'cha, then only the one who made the nether is asr, not the other person. So yes, we've reconciled Rabbi Yosef ben Hanina with the other Mishnais, but we haven't been able to reconcile Shmuel, at least the way Shmuel learns our Mishnah, with those other Mishnais. Says the Gemara, Ella, this is the way the Gemara now attempts to explain Shmuel. Amikar de Shmuel hachitma. At the beginning, we understand Shmuel to saying as follows. Tama, the reason that the person only may not eat from the other person's food, Dama shani oichlach v'shan tamilach, that he added to the word medrani mecha shani oichlach v'shani tamilach. Hu deinu osa el b'chila. That's when the nether is interpreted that it's only speaking that I may not eat from your food. However, hu deinu osa el b'chila. Ha medrani mecha, if you use a much broader statement without any qualification, when you don't say shani oichlach, you don't say shani tamilach, then the halach will be the osa afil b'ano, he can't have any benefit. And the Ran explains, but this is very much appropriate to the sugya that we're going to begin to learn soon. And that is that Shmuel's opinion at this point is that yudayim she'en mechichis en yudayim. That even if something is not clear, it's still considered an effective nether. And since it's considered an effective nether, so yes, the word mudrani himach by itself is unclear what exactly am I saying is osur and what am I not including. But Shmuel says, we interpret that what he means is that it's osur every type of isser, even though it's not clear in what he said that that's what he meant, and therefore he'll be osur all the way. Ihachi asked the Gemara that if that's what Shmuel meant to say, Leim Shmuel Hachi, so Shmuel should have explained his halacha, Vim lay amishani oichloch v'shan toim loch, if he didn't add to his original statement, umadrani mecha, v'shani mecha, the phrase ani oichloch v'ani toim loch, then the halacha will be osa fil ba'no. Why? That would be the proper way for Shmuel to have explained, said his halacha. And the Rishonim say that this kind of question could have been asked on the other interpretations that Shmuel has also given in our sugya. Those other interpretations also could have been, the Gemara could have asked, well, if that's what Shmuel meant, he didn't express it, it wasn't expressed properly, but the Gemara had other questions. So the Gemara gives a different interpretation of what Shmuel meant to say. Elohachi itma. Tamad amashani oichlo v'shani taimloch hu da'asur. If he adds to the Madrani Mecha and to the Mefreshani Mecha, the word Shani Oichlo v'shani taimloch, that's when he'll be asur. Aval ama Madrani Mecha. If he just uses the word Madrani Mecha without any other words, le'mashma, it doesn't explain, it's not clear. It's not clear what he meant. My tama, because we don't know what he meant to say. Mudemach, when he said, because when he said mudemach, does he mean lemishtabinach mahachmashma? He can mean that I'm not talking with you. In other words, the words mudemach can mean that I'm not allowed to benefit from you. It can mean that I'm not allowed to talk with you. When he uses the words mufreshani mimcha, when I'm going to be separate from you, it also is unclear what does it mean. It can mean the light of vidna imach masim matam mashna. It could not necessarily mean that I won't benefit from you. It could mean that I won't do any business with you. When he uses the words merchukani mimcha, it can mean the light kaimna ba'abedidach mashma, that I won't be within, I won't come within your dalar amis. And therefore, in all these cases, these are words that are not clear. And that's why the Aloch Shmuel is saying it's not considered a valid neder. Because Shmuel at this point is learning that any neder that could, as we just learned the Gemara, that could be interpreted in many different ways is not an acceptable neder. So the Shalmi Nedarim asks a very fundamental question. He asks, there's one of the halachas that we're going to be learning in this Masechta more than once, is the halacha that stam the darim lahachmer. Then we don't know what to do, we should be machmer. So why over here are we not just machmer? If we don't know how to interpret the neder, why don't we just be machmer? So the Shalman the darim answers that where is there a halacha of stam the darim lahachmer? That's when it's expressed as a neder. But all the examples that we're speaking about in our shiur today are yodis nedarim. By yodis nedarim, there's no rule of stam nedarim lahachmer. Another explanation says another answer the Michal Shlomo offers is when do we say stam nedarim lahachmer? When we say stam nedarim lahachmer is when the words that are said can be interpreted in one of two ways. But if the words themselves are so ambiguous, words, and this is going to be another very important halacha Masech Nedarim, something which is ambiguous, that is not considered a neder at all. And since it's not considered a neder at all, we don't use the concept of stam nedarim lahachma. Here we also learn a halacha that's relevant in other places in Shas, where the Gemara says that merchukani mimcha, we're not clear what he meant. And the Gemara suggested that maybe what he meant was that I won't come within your Dalet Amos. This is one of the sources in Shas, says the Michal Shlomo, that we see that what is considered a person's personal space, Dalet Amos is considered an individual's personal space. So, even though while we end off the sugya is the way we began the sugya, we began the sugya by Shmuel saying that in order for the neder to be a neder, you have to have both phrases, merchukani mimcha, merfreshani mimcha, shani oichloch, shani toimloch. At the beginning of the sugya, the reason we held that way was that because Shmuel held that those Nadarim are not Nadarim at all. They're not considered Yodos Nadarim at all. Saying Mudrani Mimcha is not considered a Nadar at all. And then, at the end of yesterday's shir, the Gemara proved that Mudrani Mimcha is considered a valid way of expressing a Nadar. So now the Gemara is saying that even if it's a valid Nadar, but there's another problem. Because as we learned, and as I said a few moments ago, this is the sugya we're about to begin, that even though our Mishnah taught us that Yodos Nadarim are an effective way of expressing a neder, here Shmuel is telling us the Yadayim, in order to be an effective neder, they have to be Yadayim Mechichas. And these are Yadayim She'ena Mechichas, the Yadayim that are not clear. And Shmuel is teaching us now that that Yadayim She'ena Mechichas lo havin Yadayim. The Mishnayis, the Brises that we quoted at the end of yesterday's shir that said that they are an effective means of expressing a neder. Obviously, the Tanoim of those Brises are of the opinion that Yadayim She'ena Mechichas havin Yadayim. Says the Gemara, Leim L'Kosov Shmuel. So the way we're learning now, it's, as we just explained, it's quite obvious that Shmuel's opinion is that Yadayim She'ena Mechichas lo havin Yadayim. Shmuel's opinion is that Yadayim Mechichas lo havin Yadayim. Says the Gemara, in absolutely, Shmuel Mukalei Masnisen, Shmuel's going to explain our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Yadayim She'ena Mechichas lo havin Yadayim. The halacha is that it's considered a valid neder. So, ask the Gemara, where do we see this from? Where do we see this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? So we know that the way a Jewish marriage is terminated is through a get, through a divorce. And we find in Masechta Gittin, the Pei Hei Amin Aleph, a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, what is the wording of a get? The Tanan, Guf Shel Get, the body of the get says, Harei At Mutaris L'Chal Adam. All it says, Harei At Mutaris L'Chal Adam, and that is enough to be a get. Of course, everybody agrees, even the Rabbanon, that the husband's wife, husband's name, the wife's name, the location where this get is being written, the date when the get is being written, have to be included in the body of the get. But we don't have to have all the words that Rabbi Yehuda is just going to teach us need to be included. Rabbi Yehuda, we have to include in the get. V'dein dehavi l'chamino. This document should be a document, Sefer Teruchim, the document that separates us, V'gurus Shvuchim. So the Gemara is assuming that what is the Machloikis that that Mishnah is teaching us, is Machloikis, if Yadayim She'ena Mechichas, having Yadayim or not. The Chamim will hold that all you need to write has Harei At Mutaris L'Chal Adam, even though it doesn't have any clarity in the depth and to the detail of the get, it's good enough. That's good enough. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that isn't sufficient. The writing Harei At Mutaris L'Chal Adam is insufficient, and that's why you have to have much more detail, because otherwise it's Yadayim She'ena Mechichas. So if that's the way we're going to learn, it turns out that the Machloikis, it turns out that Shmuel is passing like Rabbi Yehuda. But ask the Gemara, so my duck is Shmuel like Mila Masnisen. Why is Shmuel forcing himself to explain our Mishnah as following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and say that you have to have both Mudrani Mimcha and Shani Yoichaloch in order that our Mishnah should be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Ask the Gemara, why doesn't Shmuel learn the Mishnah simple? Not that the Mudrani Mimcha and Shani Oichalok are said together. Rather, separate them into two separate phrases. And then it will be consistent with the opinion of the Rabbanon that hold that Afakav Den Yadayim Mechichas, it's still considered Yadayim Mechichas. So of course, the Rishonim asked the question, what does the Gemara mean to say? The reason Shmuel went out of the way to explain the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Ran and the Rashba and the Meiri explain that the Gemara's question is much more fundamental. How could Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yehuda versus the Rabbanim? So if the Mishnah is obvious that it has to be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so now I understand why Shmuel pushes himself to explain that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But our Mishnah, the way we've been learning, in no way is it clear that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So since it's not clear that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it could easily follow the opinion of Rabbanan. So why should Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yehuda versus the Rabbanan? There is no Mishnah that's pushing him in that direction. And if there's no Mishnah pushing him in that direction, he ought to paskin like Rabbanan and paskin the Yadayim Sherem Chichos and then the Yadayim Sherem Chichos or Yadayim. Amar Rava, what pushed Shmuel to explain the Mishnah this way is Mesnis and Kishishi. The wording of the Mishnah was problem to him. Amai Tani Shani Oichel Shani Taim Lach. Why do you have to use the word Shani Oichel Lacha? Shani Taim Lacha. Listen to Shani Oichel Shani Taim. Without the word Lacha. Why did the Mishnah need to add the words Lacha? It must be to teach us that you have to have Bina Yadayim Mechichas. And that's why the word Lacha is so critical. So that's a raya that the Mishnah teaches us that the halacha is that you have to have Yadayim Mechichas, like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why Shmuel went and said, our Mishnah paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Once he has a Mishnah that paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that's why he paskined like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara continues discussing this halacha that we've been explaining. Itmar, Yadayim She'enem Mechichas, Abaye Omer Havin Yadayim, Rava Lo Hamin Yadayim. That this is a machlokes, Abaye and Rava are the Yadayim or not. Omer Rava, so Rava says, Rav Idi Asberli, where do I take this halacha? The Rava says about himself, that Yadayim She'enem Mechichas Lo Havin Yadayim. He says, I learned from Rav Idi. Damakra, the Pasuk says in the Parsha, I'm Naziris. Isha Kiafli Linda Nadir. Linda Neder Nazir Lashem says the Gemara to teach Maxidar Naziris L Naziris. To teach us that Yadis Naziris have to be like Naziris. Man Naziris. The Torah is very clear when it speaks about Naziris. The Torah uses the word hafla. What does hafla mean? It has to be clarity. And therefore, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halacha is, if somebody's sitting, and he sees his friend approaching, and he says, I will be a Nazir if that person who's approaching is a Nazir. And then it does turn out that that person was a Nazir, he's still not a Nazir. Because when he expressed and accepted his Naziris, he wasn't sure if he's going to be a Nazir. And since he wasn't sure that he's going to be a Nazir, that's a lack of Lahafli, and he wouldn't be a Nazir. Because Af Yodis Naziris, to teach us that even when you express a Yodis Naziris, the halacha is, it has to be expressed clearly. Before we get into the sugya, there's a number of points I have to make. Even though we're learning that as a machlokes about Yadayim She'enem Mechichas, everybody agrees where what you're saying has no clarity at all. And it could be interpreted in many different ways. Everybody will agree that that's not a yad, even. That's not a nether. If there's no clarity, it's not a nether. If it's obvious what you meant, then of course it's going to be a nether. It's only in a case where it probably means this, but it could mean something else as well. That's where you have the halacha of the machloikis of Yadus Naziris, Yadus Nadarim, are they considered a Naziris or not? So says the Gemara. So we just learned that Rav Idi said that Yadus Naziris have to be clear. So says the Gemara. So now, and we said that that's the basis of Rava's Psak, that Yadayim She'enem Mechichas Lo Havin Yadayim. So the Gemara wants to suggest that the Machloikis that we're learning of Abaye and Rava is actually the machlokes that we spoke about in Hilchos Gittin, how a get has to be written, where the Rabbanon don't need that level of clarity, and Rabbi Yehuda did need the level of clarity. So suggest the Gemara, Lema, beplukted Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanon kamifli. The machlokes of Abayi and Rav is actually the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanon. The Tanan, as we just learned a few moments ago, Gufa shall get Harayat Mataris L'Chal Adam. According to Rabbanan, it's sufficient that it should say Harayat Mataris L'Chal Adam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it has to say much more. The Dain Tehevel L'Chamina, Sefer Teruchim V'Get Piturim V'Gur Shavuim. So we're going to say that a Abayi that holds a Dain Shein Mechichas Havin Yadayim will hold like the Rabbanan, and Rava, who says Yadayim Shein Mechichas Lo Havin Yadayim, is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, says Abayi, not necessarily. My position of Yadayim Shein Mechichas Havin Yadayim can be consistent with Rabbi Yehuda as well. For, says the Gemara, at Kan Lo Kam Rabbi Yehuda to be in Yadayim Mechichas, where does Rabbi Yehuda require Yadayim Mechichas? By get. Because the Torah, when it speaks about a get, uses the word krisis. And if there isn't a very clear krisis, then it's not going to be a sufficient get. Avo ba'amo, when we're talking about a regular neder, mishamdle, it could very well be, says Abayi, Rabbi Yehuda would agree, that Yadayim Shein Mechichas, and Yadayim. And Rava says the other way around. Anod Amri Yafil Rabbanan. My position, that Yadayim Shein Mechichas, Lo Havin Yadayim, could be consistent even with Rabbanan. Because at Kan Lo Kam Rabbanan, the Lo Bini Yadayim Mechichas, we are the Rabbanan not requiring that level of clarity by get, gabi get. Because the Ein Adam Megarish Eishes Chaveroi, you don't divorce somebody else's wife. Since you don't divorce anybody else's wife, so if you're giving the woman who's your wife a get, it's obvious that you mean to give a get. Ava ba'ama, in other places, where the neder is not given to anybody that necessarily has a relationship, there the halacha is that Yadayim Shein Mechichas, Lo Havin Yadayim, and you're going to have to be much clearer. Many Rishonim suggest that the machloikis here is what is the purpose of the get. Is the purpose of the get to affect the divorce? Is the get what makes them divorce? Or is the get a raya, a proof that they're divorced? If the get is what creates the divorce, so then the get has to be very clear. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. With that lack of clarity, it cannot be a sufficient document to separate this husband and wife. But if we say the get is not what separates them, when the husband says to his wife, you're not going to be my wife anymore, that's what separates them. And the get is only here as a raya that they're no longer. It is a raya that they're no longer here. That's why the halacha is, according to Rabbanan, that you don't have to have that lack of, you don't have to have that clarity. I saw the Rabbeinu Avram and Ahar has a different explanation. He says, as we know, the halacha is that a get can be given bal korcha. But the raisa, a husband could divorce a wife without her consent. So he explains that that's the opinion of the Rabbanan, as Rav explains now. The Rabbanan agreed that Yadayim Shein Mechichas Lo Havin Yadayim. You have to have that clarity. But explains Rabbeinu Avram and Ahar, in explaining Rav's explanation of the opinion of the Rabbanan, that since we see a different halacha by get, that by get you could give it bal korcha. So just like the halacha is that by get you could give it bal korcha, the halacha will also be that Yadayim Shein Mechichas will be sufficient to be considered an explanation. The halacha actually follows Rava, who holds that Yadayim Shein Mechichas Lo Havin Yadayim. The Rambam paskens that therefore that if somebody just makes a statement, a Madrani Mimcha, we don't know what that means. And therefore, he says, the Rambam paskens that somebody says Madrani Mimcha, we take it to mean literally, and it means that I'm not allowed to speak to you. The Rosh disagrees, and he holds that Madrani Mimcha is an unclear term, and therefore, we don't know what it means, and because we don't know what it means, Rava will hold that it's not a neder at all. The Ritva, he said, has a different approach, why to agree with the Rambam. He says that midaraisa, a neder only takes an effect on a Dovah Sheish by Mamish. For example, if Ruve makes a neder not to benefit from Shimon, the neder takes effect on Shimon's property, and Reuven can't have Hanoah from Shimon's property. A neder to refrain from speaking, there's nothing tangible. And that's why that neder can't be a valid neder. We just spoke about a neder that involves not speaking to the other person. So I saw that the Paiskim, the Devar Tzina Rav Zatzal, and the Shalos HaTshuvos, Be'er Moshe, and other Paiskim discussed this question. And they ask, if someone makes a neder that he's not going to speak to someone else, may he speak to him over the phone? What's the question? Because as we know, as engineers tell us, the phone is, when you speak to somebody else through a phone, the other person is not actually hearing your voice. Your voice is transformed into electrical current, and then it's turned back that he hears your voice. So he didn't hear your voice directly. So since he didn't hear your voice directly, that maybe should not be considered a violation of the neder. So there's an interesting shach. The shach in Simon Reish Chaf Aleph Sif Kotten and Dalid says, what happened if somebody made a neder that he won't speak to someone else, but he wants to communicate with him? So the shach says, well, maybe what he's allowed to do is, if Reuven made a neder, he's not allowed to talk to Shimon. So whatever message Reuven wants to convey to Shimon, he'll tell Levi, and Shimon is standing there, and Shimon will hear. So he's not violating his neder. Reuven didn't talk to Shimon directly. He spoke to Levi. Says the shach that that's wrong. He says, the shach doesn't say it's osur. The shach says, shloyofa oisim. And the way I understand what the shach means to say is, as we see throughout our shiurim already, and we will continue seeing, when a neder is made, it's not just the exact words that are said. There's something behind. There's something behind what he said. So since there's something that is behind what he said, says the shach. When somebody made a neder, that Reuven made a neder, he's not going to talk to Shimon. He didn't mean that he's going to talk to Levi and Shimon will hear and it'll be acceptable. Because in the Dorim, I think what Shach means to say is that we don't just look at the letter of the law. In the Dorim, we look at the spirit of the law. And similarly, it's going to be the halacha. If Reuven made a neder that he's not going to talk to Shimon, and now Reuven doesn't talk to him directly, he talks to him over the phone. So yes, you could say, you could get an electrical engineer to tell you where he didn't talk to him directly and he didn't hear his voice directly. But clearly, when Reuven made a neder that he's not going to talk to Shimon, the spirit of what he meant to say was that he doesn't want to communicate with Shimon. If the spirit of what he said was that he doesn't want to communicate with Shimon, talking over the phone would be included in what the Shach says in that case of Reuven talking to Levi and Shimon hearing, and lo yofa hey moisim, that's inappropriate. It's not the right thing halachically to do.